Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our Comforter, there is no one like you in power or wisdom or grace. You alone are God above all the universe. May we worship no one besides you, O Lord. May our worship and praise be pleasing in your sight, and may you strengthen and bless us through your holy word. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by His Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Have mercy on us, Christ, have mercy on us.
We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Exodus. We read from chapter 33, verses 11 through 23. This is a very interesting reading from the Old Testament where Moses, it says, speaks with God face to face, and yet God did not allow Moses to actually see his face, because it says if he did, he would die. So Moses asked to see God's glory, and God shows him just the back of himself. This section of Exodus leads into our sermon text, which takes place in the next chapter in Exodus 34 in our sermon today. We read then from Exodus 33, verses 11 through 23. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Moses would return again into the camp, but his assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you yourself have been telling me, 'Lead this people up,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. So now, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider that this nation is your people." The Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said to him, "If your presence is not going to go with me, do not send us up from here. After all, how would people know that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Isn't it in this way that you go with us, so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the people who are on the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have said, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." The Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord in your presence. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." He said, "You cannot see my face, for no human may see me and live." The Lord also said, "Look, there is a place next to me where you shall stand on the rock. It will happen that while my glory passes by, I will put you in a crevice in the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen." The second reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." This is the account of Jesus visiting a very unlikely convert, a man named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were very much looked down upon because they were considered to be very open sinners, because many tax collectors stole and didn't charge more than they should when they collected taxes. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man named Zacchaeus was there. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but since he was short, he could not see because of the crowd. He ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was about to pass by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." He came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. When the people saw it, they were all grumbling because he went to be a guest of a sinful man. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I am going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. Thank you. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the name above all names, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is again taken from the book of Exodus. This time we'll read from chapter 34. We read verses 5 through 9. The Lord, and when you see the Lord spelled with a capital L-O-R-D in all caps or in small caps, it's an indication that the word used there is his personal name, Jehovah or Yahweh. And we'll go into a little more detail about that in the sermon today. So the Lord, Jehovah or Yahweh, came down in the cloud. He took his stand there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord, Jehovah. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. He calls their children and their children's children to account for the guilt of the fathers, even to the third and the fourth generation. Moses quickly bowed to the ground and worshipped. He said, if I have now found favor in your sight, Lord, please let the Lord go along with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our guilt and our sin and accept us as your possession. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe you've read the cute story that was going around the internet a number of years ago where the story is told of a first grade boy who's drawing a picture in school one day. And the teacher comes up to him and asks, what are you drawing? And the boy says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher, a bit surprised, said, but no one knows what God looks like. The boy replied, well, they're about to. Ever wondered what God looks like? We see people paint pictures of God, draw pictures of God, and he's often pictured in many different ways. We probably have had thoughts about what does he look like? What's he going to look like when we get to heaven? We found in our Old Testament reading that even Moses wanted to see God's face, see what he looked like. He said, show me your glory. I think we can relate to Moses. Wanted some visible proof that God was going to be with him as he led his people through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. God had spoken, as it says, with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, but he apparently had not ever seen God in all his fullness, all his glory, and all his splendor, or seen his face in that way. But he wanted to. So again, he said, please show me your glory. But as we read, he was not allowed to see God's face and all its holiness and glory because God told him, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. God had to cover Moses with his hand. As he passed by, he only allowed Moses to see his back. However, as we learn from our sermon text, the next day, Moses was actually allowed to see the Lord, that is Jehovah. He was allowed to see Jehovah's glory. The first verse of our text tells us that the Lord, Jehovah, came down in the cloud. He took his stand there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. By proclaiming his name, that is how the Lord, Jehovah, revealed himself to Moses in all of his glory. And that is how the Lord, Jehovah, reveals himself to us in all of his glory as well. In order to fully understand what it means that the Lord was proclaiming the name of the Lord, Jehovah, we first need to understand what God's name means. First of all, think about your name. What's the purpose of your name? It essentially has two purposes, doesn't it? It first of all distinguishes you from other people. Yes, sometimes we have the same first name. Sometimes you even have the same first and last name. I've even heard of one couple who has the same first and last name. But if we all had the same name, it would get extremely confusing. So our names distinguish us from other people. But our names also, secondly, they identify us, right? When people hear our name, they usually think of us. Maybe they think of what we're like, our personality, whether they like us or not. Or maybe they think about what we look like. Well, God's name functions in a similar way. There are, as you know, many names for God in the Bible. Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord, Jehovah, Savior, Creator, Jesus. These names are all used to distinguish our God, the true God, from the other gods, the false gods. But God's name also identifies him and also describes his attributes. In Hebrew, there are several names for God that point to different characteristics or attributes of God. The word that's used here in this text in Hebrew is a word that we often pronounce Jehovah, but more likely it was probably pronounced Yahweh or something like that. It's translated in most English translations with what you see in our text today, the word Lord, but in all caps or in all small caps. So if you see that in your Old Testament scriptures or even when it's quoted in the New Testament, remember that's the name Jehovah or Yahweh. God's personal name is being used there. That's the name in which God revealed himself to Moses and the Israelites. His personal name, which means I am. Because he is the God who is. The God who always was and the God who always will be. It's a very special name that he gave to the people, the special name he has for himself, Jehovah. He is the unchanging, eternal, self-existent God who always is. And that special name, Jehovah, would remind God's people of his promises, his sure and certain unchanging promises, especially his promise to send a Savior who would be Jesus, the Messiah. So God's name not only identifies who he is, it describes who he is and what he has done for us. In our catechism, we define God's name as being everything he has told us about himself. Everything God has told us about himself is found in the Word of God, in the Bible. So when you think of God's name, think of an equal sign between God's name and his Word. God's name is his Word. In the verses of our text, God tells us a lot about himself as he proclaims the name of the Lord, Jehovah, to Moses. And Luther once called these verses the Great Sermon on the Name of the Lord. What did God tell us about his name? What did he reveal about himself in these two short verses? Well, our text says the Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, "The Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. He calls their children and their children's children to account for the guilt of their fathers, even to the third and the fourth generation." This is not the way in which Moses asked or expected the Lord to show him his glory and his fullness of his glory to him. Moses wanted something visual. He wanted something physical and impressive to his senses to assure him that the Lord Jehovah would be with him and his people as he undertook that daunting task of leading this huge nation of people to the promised land. Instead, what God revealed to his people, or what he revealed to Moses to show him all his glory, was his name, the certain assurances and promises of his word. In fact, God did a similar thing to one of the other great Old Testament prophets. He did this for the prophet Elijah. We're told in 1 Kings when Elijah was depressed and actually felt like he was the last believer on the earth, that's what he said to God, I'm the last one left who serves you. The Lord Jehovah placed on him, he felt a burden too great to bear. Elijah went up on the same mountain, Mount Sinai, also called Mount Horeb. And we're told this, Behold, the Lord, again, the name Jehovah used there, passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord, Jehovah, was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord, Jehovah, was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord, Jehovah, was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The Lord, Jehovah, came to Elijah not in the fire or the earthquake or the wind, but in the still, small voice of his word. The message to Moses and Elijah was very clear. Reassurance and comfort from the Lord are not found in the outward signs of God's majesty and power. That certainly does reveal a lot to us about God, doesn't it? But his true glory and comfort and strength that he gives us is not from his outward signs of majesty and power. The unfortunate thing is, by nature, this is what we want from God. Right? Moses did it. I do it. You do it, I'm sure. We all do it. We do what Moses and Elijah did. When the pressures, when the burdens and the disappointments of everyday situations of the sinful life bear down on us, we want God to show us his glory by some sort of reassuring outward manifestation of his presence and his power. We want God to write his name for us in the sky. Write your will for what you'd have me do, Lord, in the sky in flames or maybe fireworks or some fantastical show of angels, and then I will know that you're with me. Or then I will surely know what to do. We want him to work physical miracles before our eyes so that we will be assured that his powerful presence is here in my life and in yours. The Apostle Paul reminds us that this was a trait of some of the unbelieving Jews who had known Jehovah, the one true God, but had rejected his promised Messiah, Jesus. He says the Jews demand miraculous signs, but he goes on in that same chapter to say, but God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That has been God's MO since pretty much the beginning, hasn't it? He chose to come as a little baby, born in a manger, in a stable, in Bethlehem. He chose a rugged cross and an empty tomb to save us. He comes to infants with water and his word in baptism and brings them miraculously into his family. He comes to us in bread and wine in his supper. And he's chosen to give us that still small voice of his saving name, his gospel message, to reveal his true majesty, his power, and his glory. These seemingly weak things are strong enough to reassure us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to save us, and sustain us until that day when we see him in all of his glory, face to face, with our glorified eyes in heaven. See the Lord Jehovah's glory in his name. How often don't we human beings look to the miraculous where God has not promised it and pass right over the greatest miracles of all? The miracles that God has given us. The God of this universe tells us that he is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin. That is miraculous. It's miraculous because who's forcing God to be compassionate and gracious? Does he have to be? He does not, does he? No. He doesn't have to be compassionate or gracious or slow to anger toward us. Again, that is miraculous. He doesn't have to forgive our guilt and our rebellion and sin. He is the all-powerful creator God who can do anything. No one is forcing him to be that way. He doesn't owe us these miraculous blessings, and we certainly didn't deserve them or earn them for ourselves. That is the greatest miracle of all, that the holy, almighty God of this universe would choose to reveal his saving name to us sinful, rebellious people and come and live inside our hearts through his word, which again equals his name. God, of course, did this very visibly and physically to show us fully who he is and reveal his name to us in a very special way when he came to be one of us, when he sent his son Jesus to live on this earth and be one of us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He sent his son Jesus to us to reveal himself fully by showing us his name. He sent him to live sinlessly in our place, to die innocently, to forgive our sins, our guilt, our rebellion and sin, as he says in our text, to give us eternal life through his resurrection from the grave. This greatest miracle of all, this true manifestation of God's glory in Christ, is available and offered to all people. Sadly, many have rejected this truly miraculous gift of salvation. And they've looked for the miraculous maybe within themselves instead of looking to Jesus and his cross. They've looked to the miraculous in nature or to superstitions of physical things instead of looking for the miracles that God has given us, the spiritual healing he gives us through his word and his sacraments. Forgiveness and faith found in that word and sacrament. To those who have rejected that saving name of our Savior God, Jehovah, he reminds us in our text that he is also a just God who does not simply overlook sin. Verse 7 says, he will by no means clear the guilty. He calls their children and their children's children to account for the guilt of the fathers, even to the third and the fourth generation. The wickedness and the unbelief of one generation is sadly passed down to their children and their children's children. What a tragedy. Unless God's saving name is preached to them, that cycle of unbelief and condemnation will continue down that family line. That fact should speak to our hearts. It should speak to our hearts because, first of all, it should make us realize that but for the grace of God, that would be us. Thankfully, God has revealed his saving name and given his saving name to us. Maybe it was through our parents. Maybe it was through our grandparents or some other Christian friend who reached out with a saving message of the gospel of Jesus and that gospel moved our hearts to know the one true God, our Savior. And secondly, it should make us want to do the same for someone who is trapped in sin and unbelief. To reach out to them with that saving message and introduce them to the God who is, who was, and always will be. The God who sent his son Jesus to save them from their sins, just like he saved us. And finally, it should make us get serious about the spiritual health of not just us, but our family, our fellow Christians around us. If we do not see the Lord's glory by hearing his saving name preached, read, and taught, if we do not share that saving name with our children and our families, these words of judgment may one day then apply to us. Thank the Lord that by his grace, he has saved us. Praise him that he has revealed his saving name to us through his son Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. May our response be like that of Moses in our text. Moses quickly bowed to the ground and worshiped. He said, if I have found favor in your sight, Lord, please let the Lord go along with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our guilt and our sin and accept us as your possession. So let me encourage you again this morning to see the Lord, Jehovah's glory, not in the outward signs of his majesty and power, but in his name. Remember, this is his name. This is where we see him, truly see him, in all his glory. Because this is where we see our Savior Jesus. This is where he gives us his Spirit for our true strength and our comfort, where he keeps us in that faith. This is where we see who God is and what he has done to save us. The Lord, Jehovah, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Thanks be to God, Jehovah, for giving us his saving name. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. May be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service with the next hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. We bring special prayers before our Lord's throne today. First, Veterans Day prayer for all of our veterans as we celebrate Veterans Day weekend. And also a prayer of thanksgiving has been requested, and I'm glad it's a prayer of thanksgiving that's been requested for the Lord giving me guidance and direction and clarity in returning the call to serve the congregation in Minnesota. We also pray for Emmanuel, Mankato, Minnesota, that they would find their pastor soon. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts in prayer. Dear Lord of the Church, we thank and praise you for your goodness and kindness toward us, that you've revealed your name to us in your word and have proclaimed that you are our Savior from sin. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity, for the guidance and direction you've given me in considering this call to serve at Emmanuel Mankato, Minnesota, and for returning that call and continuing to serve here as the pastor of our congregations in California. We ask, Lord, that you would send Emmanuel Mankato, their pastor, soon, that he would serve them in the ways that you know are best. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the selfless service of those who give their lives to protect our nation, preserve our freedoms, and restore peace in the face of brutal aggression. Grant relief to those who continue to experience emotional or physical agony from their days of combat. Give us a sense of responsibility for their welfare. Comfort those who mourn for loved ones who died while performing their duty to our country. Lord of all, we also pray for those who are currently serving in our armed forces and are involved in conflicts overseas. Keep them in your loving mercy and protection. Spread your saving word among our troops and use it to comfort and strengthen them in their faith. Remind your servants of your presence during the difficult and frightening times that they must face. Lord, we also ask that you would restore peace and end the conflicts and wars that are ongoing in the Middle East, in Ukraine, or wherever there is strife. Above all, give the soldiers and citizens who are affected by these conflicts your peace through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we also pray for those of us who are soldiers of your heavenly kingdom through faith in Christ, that we would be faithful witnesses of your saving name in all the earth. Give us courage to fight the spiritual battles we face, and give us the love and concern necessary to reach out to the souls around us that are in need of your saving grace. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things as we pray now in his name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. Following our service today, we have our voters meeting with our elections for the coming year. Voters are, of course, asked to join us for that meeting, and the congregation is invited to sit on that meeting as well if they'd like. We are going to be meeting in the fellowship hall after the service today. The Women's Auxiliary will have their meeting following our elections meeting. I am ambitiously thinking we'll be done at 11:30, so the women can start their meeting at 11:30. After that, I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible study at 2. This week, Bible instruction class on Tuesday will be with Gary at 11:30 and then also with Natalie on Wednesday at 4 p.m. as usual. Next Sunday, worship service is at 10 a.m., Bible study at 9 a.m., the usual times. We will be having our choir practice to get ready for our Thanksgiving piece. And then following the service next Sunday, there will be the crafting bee that was scheduled for this Sunday, but because of all the meetings, we're going to push the crafting bee to next Sunday after the service. A reminder, we are getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving. It is just, a week and a half away-ish. The 23rd of August, November, 10 a.m. service will be here with both congregations meeting for the Thanksgiving service at 10 a.m. on the 23rd, Thanksgiving Day. Speaking of Thanksgiving and the coming holiday season, we have put the donation box in the entryway. If you have non-perishable food items to give or gift cards, please place them in the box between now and Christmas. They'll be taken into the community service agency here in Mountain View. In your mailboxes, there is the financial summary for September and October for both our congregation and our church body. There are some extra copies in the tract rack in the entryway of church. To all of our veterans, a happy and blessed Veterans Day and Veterans Weekend. We thank you for your service to our country and pray that God will be with you and bless you and all that you do. If you looked far enough into the bulletin, you saw the last page. There is my call response for the call that I was considering to Mankato. I will read this letter to you on page 11. Dear members and friends of St. Stephen, after much prayer and thoughtful consideration, along with deliberation, counsel, and advice from a number of others, I am returning the call to serve as the second pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran of Mankato, Minnesota, and will continue to serve as your pastor here. The Lord has made it clear to me that because of the numerous needs of our California congregations, as well as our Christian day school, I am serving where the Lord wants me to be. I thank you for all of your prayers, your support, your encouragement, your thoughts, and your advice during the past few weeks. I didn't include in there the bribes that I received. No bribes. While I was considering this call. Your Christian concern and love for me and Jules and for the Lord's kingdom has always been evident and was especially helpful and encouraging to me during this time of deliberation. May God continue to work in and through each one of us here in our congregations, our school, and our communities. God's blessings to you all, and may he continue to bless our service in his kingdom. God's blessings in Christ. Thank you. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.